DK Australia. You know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Malloy.
G'day, Dave Williams here. Welcome to Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Big show coming up this afternoon. Titus O'Reilly's going to join us. Nate Velvo. Funny. We've got Gone Wild as well. And we want to know the most expensive food that you've ever paid for. That's all coming up in the second hour. But up next, though, it's Anne Edmonds and Lloyd Langford. It's Malloy, the Rostered Week Off on Triple M. Malloy's Rostered Week Off, Anne Edmonds and Lloyd Langford. They made it through 2020 together, but could they make it through an afternoon of canoeing? Let's find out.
We're talking about your relationship. I was saying to Dave earlier, I'd love to be just like billeted it out at your house for a while, just to keep an eye on. Yeah. What goes on? Who's arguing? Who gets the remote? Yeah. What happens between the two of you? Did you just tell me you went canoeing?
And I think canoeing, apparently the biggest strain on relationships is moving, which makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
I would put canoeing very close
below. A large part of the canoeing, we weren't moving.
Just help me out. Yeah. I'm starting, trying to get a handle on your relationship. Yeah. It sounds like you're quite active all of a sudden. Yeah.
Not at all.
Now you're outdoors and you're on the beach at Breathicken, you're in the canoe.
I was trying to escape in the canoe and then she jumped in.
Got his passport, ripped it up. No, we're not a very... I'm more active than Lloyd. Lloyd enjoys the couch. That's one of your favourite activities, isn't it?
Yes.
That's a positive, by the way. That's my natural habitat. Do you know what I wish I had? Like an elephant's graveyard? I wish I'd kept every couch I've had. And had them in bring them out in a museum-style environment.
Yeah,
so often.
I'm thinking about Mick Malloy's couches now, and I'm seeing a lot of sort of... Velvet. Dark patches and dints.
A couple of them. It looks like the Shroud of Turin. You can actually see how large I was at that stage.
A real walk down.
Yeah. And where'd you go canoeing? Whereabouts?
This was in Brunswick Heads.
In the ocean.
We were gifted the use of a sea kayak.
Okay. That's a formal way of saying it.
Wow.
It had two seats in it.
Yeah.
It had a waterproof hold for our... various belongings and foodstuffs.
Right. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah.
And then we had to take it out onto the river and we went to another beach.
Yes.
Wow. I have to say, it was largely populated by topless women.
It was, actually.
Go on.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You enjoyed it.
I was going to say, it sounds like an episode of Naked and Afraid. You know, where you're trying to make fire by rubbing sticks together in the nutty.
The trouble was, going out to the beach was fine because we were with the tide.
Mm.
But we spent too much time there.
Because of the breasts.
Oh, did you? Well done.
And then we had to go back against the tide
to
get home. And about 10 seconds into the return trip, Anne said, "We're going to be swept out to sea."
It was literally a 5-minute journey. I nearly had a meltdown. That's hard canoeing.
I went canoeing up in the Kimberleys, which is quite a prehistoric area.
Yeah.
And my nickname from all the locals up there was Lay Down Sally. If you may remember from the Australian Rowing Eights, the girl who stopped rowing at the halfway mark. Jeez. That would have been tough, wouldn't it? Imagine that you've concentrated for 4 years to get to the Olympics with 8 people in a boat. One goes,
I need a rest at this, at this
critical
point.
Time.
What happens in the show? Do you do stuff together and stand up and a bit? Are you doing any of your character work?
I don't know. There might be a character come out. We'll see. Right. But we're on stage together. Then we do our own bits. And then we come back on at the end for question time.
Oh.
And I love question time. Begin. And that's basically that anyone in the audience can ask us any questions. And we've had some, because they're anonymous.
Can you tell me, give me, is there one that sticks out in your mind, or can you go?
They've been quite blue.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, is any hole a goal? You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, valid.
That was bound to happen, wasn't it?
Stuff about dogs,
Well, I won't feel so bad when I fire in my questions from the crowd. What about the big opening? I'm seeing something like a big clamshell dropping from the roof, dry ice, the lid opens, you two come out.
Well, let's just say there's a lot of energy from one of us, and then the other one, there's a lot of Welsh
I tend to sort of warm up as the show goes on.
And you'd be brought to the boil by the end. Two of the best in the business going around. Anne, Lloyd, thanks for coming in today.
Thank guys.
You. Don't go anywhere. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Still to come, Nate Velvo. And up next, a new smart toilet. Yes, that's right, a smart toilet. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. You can follow Malloy on Instagram right now. And despite Mick's lack of technical expertise, he is fascinated with new technology, especially when the new technology involves toilets.
Attention. Attention.
Nerd alert.
The nerds are taking over.
What a nerd.
Time to sound the nerd alert.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
Here he is. Assistant producer James.
The Japanese have invented a high-tech lavatory that can detect your vital signs and even look at your diet and see
examines
if
your waste. It examines your waste material and gives you a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Now, is that information you want or need from your toilet?
They always say it's pretty healthy to look at your stool.
Oh, yeah.
Every now and again. They do say that. You should check it out. You shouldn't just flush it away.
That's someone who's been to university for 5 years, not your dunny. I'm a dunny going, good Lord.
You're not looking
good
down.
Lord.
Just get the job done and flush.
I'd prefer that the toilet's doing it than me. I reckon the toilet will know more than me.
If I'm going to get a diagnosis for colon cancer, I don't want it from my toilet. And I'll be wanting a second opinion, possibly from the toaster. I don't know. This is just madness. This is beyond the... What type of stuff does it tell you? What reading material you should be using? And then I would be reading a National Geographic while you take this dump. What does it do?
It's called the wellness toilet. It is connected to the internet, so it means it's sending your shit online and up to the cloud, and that's where
it
all
comes back. Things,
yeah.
Good Lord, Mayday, and incoming then... lager bomb. Here comes a lager bomb.
Yuck.
Oh, my God. But it's not right, mate, because imagine this. So it's okay, so you want it. What about all your guests?
What about someone,
Dave comes around for a dinner party or something, and next thing you know, he's being analysed?
Yeah.
That's a fun little party trick. Everyone has that fun little thing at your house that you like to show off.
I used one for overnight.
Really?
Well, I just thought I'd give it a test run.
Right, well,
here's the black box recording.
I'll take a listen.
Hello, Michael. I do love the smell of burrito in the morning. However, I would suggest seeing a doctor immediately.
Now, again, this is the sinister use of artificial intelligence that gets up right up. Do you know what it's like? You go to the toilet for a bit of peace and quiet, not to have your stool diagnosed by the toot.
Yeah.
Have you ever used a Japanese toilet before?
It's a whole new level. Personal.
I was never brave enough to use the bidet, but the next time I head over there.
A bit of bidet. A bit of bidet action.
I used to
wash the dishes in the bidet back in the day. But this is why the toilet used to be a personal experience where you'd go for a bit of peace and quiet. Not to have it. Oh, well, geez, you're in trouble. Well, big night last night, was it, Mickey? You can't be doing that. And you know, here's the other one. Here's the other one, which I don't get. And I never liked. You know the little air freshener?
Oh, like the spray. Yeah, this one.
What's that about? It's like a review. Like you go in, you do your bizzo, and it just goes, oh, Jesus.
Break.
Double. Why do I need so much electronic equipment invading my personal space?
Look at it like a really advanced pit stop. They're just, you're going in, they're tuning you up, and then you're all sorted.
I wish it was a real pit crew. There's some danger money.
Don't go anywhere. It's Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Malloy, it is the Rostered Week Off. We're back April 19. You know we love food stories. Stories that involve a person who had just one job. Stories from the animal kingdom. And stories that shed a light on the nation's parenting techniques.
Mom!
What kind of mother am I?
I'm a profile of you.
I'm afraid I'll be forced to call social services.
You know, when I was little, I used to pretend you weren't my mother.
Me too.
Time now for another entry into the Journal of Bad Parenting.
A Mount Gambier man has been fined more than $700 after he sat a toddler on his lap in the driver's seat and allowed the child to steer the vehicle around a car park. Oh, come on.
Now, I
it's not like the kid was drunk.
No.
I mean, he's in the
he's
driver's
in the
seat.
Lap. And I think it's almost a time-honoured tradition as a
Don't you
parent.
Reckon?
I do. I've done it. Come I've on. Done it with my kids.
Kids love it. I'm happy if I'm in the golf cart where my kids are driving it.
That's right. I mean, two is a little young. But as an adult, you've got control.
It wasn't like it was panning.
No, that's
two's
right.
a bit young for donuts.
Yeah,
you
that's,
know,
right.
But,
that's right. That's a start.
That's pretty. I mean, come on.
$700.
It's a car park.
Yeah.
A bit rich.
I agree. I've done it and guilty. You're
can
right.
the, if your cops turn up, can you do a crawler instead of a runner? Can a toddler do a crawler?
Yeah, I like it.
Because of the toddler being taken down for his baby's first mugshot. That would be so cool. I would love it. Let's go around the grounds. Right. James Blake joins us. James, you got a story there?
Yeah, there's always a bit of a kick up whenever there's votes involved over in the US. Stop the steal, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. What's happened?
Well, over in the US, when you do prom, you have your homecoming
queen.
Queen,
of course.
And king.
Yeah. She's the queen. Everyone's up highly contested position.
Yep. Would Controversy be. Out of Florida, where Laura Rose Carroll has stolen the vote for her daughter because she works at the school. So she's hopped into the computer system.
Oh, got the IP address of the computer.
And has pretended to be other students and voted for her daughter to get her the queenship.
Trading.
It's like the Russians are involved.
Yeah,
it's like,
you can't do that.
The Russians have hacked our home. You got the story?
Yeah.
117 votes came from the same IP address in a short span of time. And the daughter eventually was crowned homecoming queen. One girl who was on the homecoming court is staying positive about it all. We're not revealing her real voice or her name.
I feel like there needs to be a positive side addressed to the situation. I don't wish bad upon anyone, and I don't wish the situation on anyone.
Sounds hot.
You're kind of woman.
He's not your homecoming queen right there. I'd like to thank everybody who voted for me. So that's dirty pool, because that's kids' lives. That's a girl's dream, girl's dream, and you stuff it out. Do you know what's the only one worse than that was a story I heard about a guy who rigged the footy tipping competition.
That's pretty low.
And he's now... Yeah. You can toy with many things.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Class president, all that stuff. But if it's a footy tipping competition and you are in there fiddling the votes on a Monday morning,
that's out of
order.
And
you come out, you have you. It's un-Australian. In fact, that is a cue for un-Australian behaviour.
It is.
If ever I have heard it, Dave. Any bad parenting?
Oh, look, I was a bad parent just 2 days ago. It was casual clothes day for my kid's school, and a gold coin donation. By the way, no one carries cash anymore. So I've gone down to get some coins out at Coles. Sorry, sir, you need your card. You can't just tap and get cash out. Yeah, that's another problem. So I've rummaged around all the drawers at home, and instead of a gold coin, I've got for the kids, I've got like a dollar's worth of silvers. So they've got to kind of hand that over to the teachers.
Hang on, they've gone with loose change.
Loose change. But it makes a dollar. It's still a dollar.
Your kids
would
be destroyed.
And I gave them a little snap-lock bag so they could just jingle that. So they weren't thrilled with it, but a dollar is a dollar.
No, Dave, no. That's it. End of segment.
We're done, are we?
You have to
all right, then. Well, that was bad parenting. Another level. More Malloy's Rusted Week Off in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. We love catching up with Australia's up-and-coming comedians, and one of our favourites is this guy. It's Nath Velbo.
The pros and cons of life returning in Melbourne, especially the last few months, it's a roller coaster. Mm. But the negative, which I kind of want to, I want to bring back the lockdown only on the days that I have a friend's kid's birthday party to go to.
Oh, okay.
And so I had my first one.
First ever.
My first ever AM birthday party.
Oh,
Mick Malloy, I'm guessing your friends have.
Count me out.
Kids?
They do.
Did you get an invite to the parties?
Some of them they don't acknowledge in a court of law, but yes, a lot of them have. I did. I refused to go because it's
fair
just
enough.
I'm not at my best. I'm not at my best on a Sunday morning.
You're on your way home at 11 a.m. You're not going out.
Absolutely.
Usually there's some kind of restraining order introduced around about the time.
There's Mick Malloy and Andrew O'Keefe coming home from a big night. So 11 a.m. It's
two
the first
of seven
time.
Networks, highest paid stars.
It's the first time in my life I've ever had to set an alarm to go to a party.
To go to a party,
because it started, it kicked off at 11 a.m.
Talk me through it. So what do you walk in and what's happening here?
Kids screaming.
Kids screaming loud. Are you coming off a big campaign?
I was behaving because there was nothing to do on Saturday night. Okay. But I was tired, had to come home from Sydney, had a gig up there.
Okay, sure.
And I walk in and I figured out why birthday parties for kids happen on a Sunday in the morning. Okay. It's just an excuse for the new parents to get on the sauce. They want to get on it every morning, but they have an excuse when it's the birthday party of their kid. So mum was on the champers. It was 11:15. You know, dad had a beer out.
Dad's knuckling a beer.
11:15. He's like, but it's a party. I'm like, but mate, I haven't had cornflakes yet. Beer before cornflakes. I don't know. I know I'm talking to Mick Malloy here. But anyway, regular people. Yeah. But here's... Here's what I really did enjoy about this party, and I want adult parties to introduce this. It's a great thing. There was an end time already agreed to on the invite.
Pre-negotiated. Right? It's stated clearly.
1 p.m., get out, right? Drunk mum needs a nap. Basically, right? It. And so no matter how painful it was.
It's amazing.
No matter how annoying the kids were, the small talk that was doing my head in, I could see the light at the end of the tunnel on my wrist. Yeah. 1 p.m. was on its way. Yes. Now, I want to introduce this to weddings, to, to 40ths.
Yeah.
To
relationships.
1 o'clock, mate.
You're done.
TikTok. This is what I want. You know, when you're catching up with your mate and they're going on about
F45.
You're just like, sorry, mate. Oh, look at that.
Geez, look at that.
Hey, 11 p.m. We're done. Anyway, so it was.
That is a great thing.
I love it.
It's what I want everyone.
What was the film called? It was Logan's Run, and it was a film back in the day.
Tell us about it, Dad. Tell us about Logan's Run.
Well, son, gather around.
You walked 50 miles to the cinema in bare feet.
No, Logan's Run, they used to have like a little dot and it was red. And when it went to green, you cooked. It was like because there were too many people.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you mean green and red? What, they were wearing Fitbits? What?
Go home, get a dictionary out, blow the dust off it. Or have an encyclopedia. Hey, we're done here, by the way, on that rude note.
Always great to catch up with Nath Valvo. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Plenty still to come, including Titus O'Reilly in the second hour. And in just a few minutes from now, a chick. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Mick Malloy considers it his solemn duty to stay on top of all the new films, but don't consider his interest a recommendation. It's a warning.
Hang on. This is not a drill. Calling all men. This is a Category 5 chick flick alert. Oh. Abort cinema. Abort cinema. Repeat, this is not a drill. Warning. Warning. This is a fully blown chick flick alert.
Okay, guys, so this is an early warning, but I'm just putting two and two together here and suggesting something horrific is brewing. I heard that George Clooney and Julia Roberts are both in town on the Gold Coast to shoot a movie.
Warning, chick flick alert.
I mean, what else could it be? George Clooney and, say, Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman and the Pelican. How many?
That is her bag.
Eat, Pray, Love.
Yes.
They could be doing an Eat, Pray, Love.
Number two.
Whitney's with us. Whitney, what do you know? So this is what I know. George Clooney and Julia Roberts turned up in Queensland to shoot new movie.
Yes.
Do you have any details?
You can calm down. It's not Eat, Pray, Love number two. But it is going to be called Ticket to Paradise.
Warning, warning. Chick flick alert.
The director.
Ticket to Paradise.
The director was a writer on The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Oh, warning,
and also was a writer on Mamma Mia. Here we go again.
Warning, warning. Chick flick alert.
This is a category five,
this
guys.
Is brewing.
All right. It just gets better.
Do not go near Ticket to Paradise. Have you got a plot?
Well, the shoot is scheduled to be filmed in the Whitsundays, which will double for Bali.
Right, okay.
Why are they filming it in Bali?
Because I can't. Australia's like where everyone's making movies now. There's a bunch of celebs.
They've still
here.
Got COVID problems. In
Why
Indonesia.
Can't they make it on the Ivory Coast or the Sudan or somewhere dangerous where they might all be killed?
So they're going to be playing a divorced couple who travelled to Bali to stop their daughter getting married. That's a bit mean.
Chick flick alert.
This could be the Bohemoth.
This
could
bigger.
Be the mother of all chick flicks.
No, I'll be there.
This is going to destroy relationships.
No, it's not.
You know, because, guys, we do make efforts. Can I tell you something?
Please.
You know how much I like Catherine Zeta-Jones. She's seriously beautiful.
She's your gal.
You love her.
So I like to watch her in just about anything. It's just enough for me. So the other day, this is how committed I am, I watched all of No Reservations.
Oh, my God.
What
happened to you? Oh, no, you need help.
Even I will tell you that's not the best.
It was horrific. It was horrific.
And you watched it from start
you
to
just
finish?
Put up with it.
I did because I'm committed.
Whoa.
So it's about like a woman who's a chef and her sister dies in a car accident.
Mm. She gets the kids.
That I wish I had been in. And so she has to take the young daughter and then look after her. Then they don't like each other. And then she's a chef. And then the Italian chef comes to town and teaches the magic of life and love. And you here's some opera. Let's dance in the kitchen.
How romantic.
Man. Hard yards. There should be a march for
impressed.
Me one day a year.
Mm. That's
for
dedication.
Putting up with that.
Yeah.
More intolerable cruelties, please. Yeah. That's the stuff.
Len's called through. I don't know whether you want to take Len's call from Blacktown.
Sure, far away.
Some information. G'day, Len.
Let's see. George Clooney, Julia Roberts are all in the Ocean series, so maybe it's just going to be a remake, Ocean's 2.0.
We've thought
not
so, bad. But
it's not,
Whitney has just given you the plot.
Yeah.
And,
I did just say what it was.
But. Good on you for trying to put a half glass full on it.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Do you want to put him in the...
Yeah, I tell you what, you can... Len, thanks for calling through. You can either...
Hey, Len, it's your lucky day,
we're
mate.
Giving you the choice right now. You can either have the Brick Lane and just walk away with your beers, courtesy of Malloy, or you could choose the mystery prize from Mick's desk.
Oh, what could it be, Len?
Mate, I'll go out on a limb and say nothing ventured, nothing gained. I will take the prize. Prize off
mixed up. Congratulations. And it is a hamper that was sent to us by Foxtel for the end. And inside that...
The end. It's a show about people killing themselves.
Right.
Is it not?
I don't know if that's
true. Lucky no reservations. That'll be good.
It's got a little bottle of tequila, there's some wine in there, hourglass, there's some chocolates, and mate, this will be good.
It's actually a good prize.
Are any of them full?
Actually, Len, I've decided against it. I'm going to keep it.
No, Len gets it.
No,
you've got it, Len. Coming up in the big second hour, Titus O'Reilly, expensive food and gone wild.
To gather back around your wireless, people, here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
Thanks for tuning in. You got Dave Williams here. Plenty to come. Hey, you can listen to us on the Listener app. We're online, you're in your car, on your home radio. Thanks for tuning in. If you missed anything from the first hour, including Nate Velvo and our chick flick alert, or even the Japanese smart toilet, you can catch up on the Malloy podcast anytime. Coming up soon, what is the most expensive food that you've eaten? We've got Gone Wild, and up next, it's the man in the hat, it's Titus O'Reilly. It is Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Mick Malloy, he loves sport. We all love sport. We know you love sport. And so does our next guest, Titus O'Reilly.
Baseball in the US. We don't follow this religiously in this country, but you found a story that I think will pique our listeners' interest.
Well, it's an old story, but one of my favourites. And it always, you don't have to care about baseball at all to appreciate this. It's sort of a workplace romance story, which I know all love. This was back in March 4th, 1973. So we all know often there's a media conference about trades in sports, players being traded.
Sure. Yeah.
So these two players, who are both pitchers, Mike Kekich and Fritz Peterson, which is a great name, they called a press conference to announce a trade. And so all the New York media rock up, you know, normal press conference. And at the press conference, they announce that they were swapping not only wives, but their families, including the dogs. This is 100% true.
What is going on?
This was covered a bit like a sports trade. I think people were writing it up to see who'd done better out of the trade.
What the fans have their say.
I can't believe they gave away so cheaply. So the problem was one of the couples, Fritz Peterson, who then married Mike's wife.
He sounds like trouble.
He sounds like trouble.
He sounds like trouble to me, Fritz.
They're still together to this day.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. So it's a love story.
It's an absolute love story. Mike, though, it ended almost about a week after the press conference.
Fritz is the winner out of this deal. Fritz is offloaded.
Yeah.
And, okay.
So then Mike was worried that he might be traded. And if he was, he wouldn't be able to see his kids anymore. Which actually happened.
No.
So he was stuck having to hang around with Fritz to see him, to stay friends with him. And it didn't work out very well at all.
Yeah.
They then asked the media not to make anything sordid out of it.
Hey, guys, can you respect our privacy on this one?
It's just absolutely unbelievable. Fritz said he woke up the next morning and saw it all over the front page of the paper and on the TV and was said he was genuinely surprised it was a big story.
Bob, where's the level of interest in this? Please respect our privacy. Well, that's hilarious. Fritz Peterson, I want to know more about him. Does he have an autobiography out or something?
He does. He's actually become a born-again Christian.
Right. Has he?
And writes books on the topic. They did say that their kids were a bit confused at the time.
Don't make them take sides. Yeah, surely.
And both sets of kids have, you said, even as they've grown up, they've never really come to understand.
So, Titus, there's a couple of great baseball movies out there. There's The Natural, of course, with Robert Redford. There's the one with If You Build It, They Will Come.
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner.
Field of Dreams.
Yep.
Field of Dreams. Well, this one, the Fritz Peterson, a biog, could be, with George Clooney obviously playing Fritz Peterson.
Well, Casey Affleck is trying to get this movie made as we speak.
Gold.
Unreal.
This is, if you see one film this year, that could go straight into the sporting film pantheon. Hey, Titus, the book, I want to make the latest book, Cheat, The Not-So-Subtle Art of Conning Your Way to Sporting Glory, is available now. I wish you had to come to me for a quote on the cover because it's one of my all-time favourite books. It's a real page-turner, even on the toot. Which is prime reading real estate for me. Thanks for swinging by today, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow on Molloy, we've got Clown of the Week, we've got Jimmy Barnes, and our great mate, the godfather of this radio network, Lee Simon. This is Molloy's Rostered Week Off. Every Thursday, it means Gone Wild. So, well, today's a Thursday, so let's do it.
Gone Wild. Here we go, people. And I hate to say it, China's upped their old tricks again.
What's China done?
Well, they've got a zoo and they've tried to pass a dog off as a wolf. It's not on China.
It's part of the family,
it's
though.
It's not.
Oh, it's an easy mistake, mate.
It's a wolf. It's not a wolf. Mm. It's a dog.
What sort of dog is it, though? Is it like a wolf-like dog?
It's like Molly's dog.
It's like Ziggy.
Tried this before, Dave. They remember they tried. It was a zoo in a province that tried to pass off.
I've got the original story. This is like 7 or 8 years ago. Sure.
Families visiting a zoo in eastern China this week were left feeling rather disappointed. As one young boy stood outside the African lion enclosure, he noticed that what was supposed to be a lion was actually a barking dog. Foxes were standing in for leopards, rats were found in the snake cage, and more dogs were found in the wolf enclosure.
You can't be doing that.
No.
You can't advertise a lion and put in a... It's a big mastiff. I've got a picture of it. And it looks like it's got a little mane, but you can't be doing it. Hey, Mum, the king of the jungle's dry-humping my leg. Not on.
No, it's not on. You pay your money to go to a zoo. You're looking for a lion, not a stinking dog.
Hey, Mum, the king of the jungle's lipstick's out. You know what I'm saying?
It's not very regal, is it?
China, stop it.
No, it's enough.
Hey, guess what? A new film is about to be made. Elizabeth Banks, very funny woman, direct a movie about legendary Kentucky cocaine bear.
What's that about?
I'm calling it Pablo Escobar. I told you it wouldn't work. Why'd you stop writing material?
Pablo Escobar.
That's the name of the film. Do it again.
All right.
Hey, so they're making a film about this cocaine bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I should probably call it Pablo Escobar.
Same reaction.
Had a very powerful enemy. No, this is the story of an infamous Kentucky bear. It was reported in the New York Times in 1985. And it's going to be the subject of a new film. So if you live in Kentucky, you may know the story of Cocaine Bear, a 61.23-kilogram black bear who unfortunately consumed the contents of a duffel bag filled with more than 31.7 k's of cocaine.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Man. That's one of those bears that don't wear any pants. They're like Yogi. Hey, boo-boo. I've made a boo-boo. Jesus, imagine a black bear on the rampage after a snootful of the whiz fizz.
31 kilograms.
That'd spice up Goldilocks, wouldn't it? All right, here come the bears. Someone's been sleeping in my bed. Oh, no. With about 12 other bears.
That's it.
Gone bonkers.
A mate of mine, Steve, suggested that after consuming said drugs, was able to clean up Yosemite National Park in under 10 minutes.
Oh, geez. Hey, Dave, it's a yellow card for you.
No more.
That is a yellow card.
I'm so sorry.
Fleeing penguins have escaped killer whales. So the penguins, they know they're in a race for their life. Yeah. All of a sudden, whooshka, jump into a tourist boat.
Oh, no way, like
they
a great
just
escape.
Out of the water, into the tourist boat, bang.
On their way. That's hey. Penguins. That's genius.
Well, I would throw it back because oh, I would argue it's natural selection and we can't interfere
that's a
in
lot of
nature going about its business.
The, whales apparently followed the boat. Mm. So the penguins now on the boat and the tourists are on the boat and then the whales circled and started to follow the boat.
Whales working out how can we, how do we skin this cat? They are good. I'd like to see that at SeaWorld. Just check the penguins
you
in.
You don't need to.
And then release the killer whales.
This is, again,
how good would that be?
How the segment's going to come to an end today.
Oh, and that's it.
That's been gone wild. This is more to come on Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Mick is back April 19. Up next, what is the most expensive food that you've eaten?
Look at all this food.
This is the best thing I have ever put in my mouth.
I like food.
That is f***ing disgusting.
Malloy's Food News. Eat it.
Right, so Dave,
what do you got?
You're a notorious tight ass. We know that. What was the Queenscliff?
Yeah,
fish
the fish and
chips
and chip shop. I walked in, thought I'd get a couple of potato cakes, maybe a couple of pieces of fish, some dimmies, and $57 on the menu. I thought, well, I'm paying $57 for a family pack of fish and chips. It's not as though I'm buying something really kind of gourmet. Yeah.
So what did you do?
Well, there was a bakery across the road, so a couple of pies and a couple of sausage rolls. I think $17 all up.
And then we're coming off the idea that on Australia Day, you took your family to Bunnings.
Well, that
lunch.
Was for Australia Day.
You didn't even
that
go
was,
in.
Well,
you just
I didn't go, if I didn't eat anything from Bunnings.
Shouted the snags.
Which is happy to support the local community, and they were there
great
getting
family
the
lunch.
That's it.
Okay. How much would you pay at Gordon Ramsay's for a burger and fries?
Burger and fries, yep. All right. So a couple of patties, some lettuce.
$51.
That's a ripoff. Burger
would
and
you,
fries.
Would you ever imagine?
No, I wouldn't pay that.
What would happen
I'd
if
I go
that...
to McDonald's and I'd get like, a quarter pound a meal for $10 with a drink and some chips.
But listen to me. So what do you do when the bill comes back and it goes, $51? You do a runner?
Well, no. If you've ordered it, you've got to pay for it. You don't
$51. So the diner has posted... his receipt going, what is going on? That's
a lot of money.
I would expect him to really shout at the guys making that burger. Yeah, I'd want to know,
right.
He has literally threatened to punch him in the
what's
face.
What's in the burger, though, for $51?
The burger's been
good.
Charged for $51. Get that burger.
$51, mate. It's your standard, you wouldn't take the pickles off that, would you?
No, that's exactly right. And you'd savour it forever.
And you'd keep your eyes on your fries.
That would be good. That's right.
Can I mention another story I heard, Dave, about you? Are you?
What's hanging on Dave Day today?
I just thought we'd get it out of the way early.
What? Here we go.
Well, I heard a story, unconfirmed today.
What are you talking about?
Running around that recently during the GFC, Dave.
This is Jill, who works in this office. She is a
Jill.
Bloody stool pigeon.
So Jay has overheard. Jay, get in here. Jay has overheard a conversation.
Yeah, and this is
Jay,
off air completely.
You tell the story,
up here.
Please, because this is. Everyone, you won't believe what you're about to hear.
Oh, well.
This is the tightest thing I've ever heard.
Come on.
I walked in on the tail end of a conversation involving Jill and Dangerous Dave, and Jill said, "Dange, now that you're on the big bucks, are you going to get your charity kit back?"
The charity kid, being like your World
kid,
Vision,
a World Vision child,
sponsor.
A sponsorship child,
right?
That's the description.
Good on you, Dave.
Thank you.
This is interesting. And Dean said, "No, we haven't done that in a while." And then Jill proceeded to tell the story that during the GFC. Well, things were a little bit tight for everybody.
Yeah.
Dange decided they needed to cut back on expenses. And one of the expenses was the sponsorship of a child in some third world country.
You've cut him loose.
Well, I didn't know where money was going to come from. They're talking about stock market crashes.
How much a month? How much?
Oh, I don't know. It was $30 a month or something.
So let me get this straight. So you're going through the accounts and you're looking at it going, oh, it's a bit tight.
Exactly.
Something has to go. Something has to go. Capuchin kitty. How do we... need it. No,
you say it like that, it sounds really mean. But the
I'd like to. You know what I'm going to do? Go and track him down. I'm going to go and track him down and find out where he is and what he's doing. Mate, what is wrong with you?
Well, you've got to go through all your expenses for the month. You go, well, what can I lose here? Yeah. So, you know.
A little kid. A poor child.
We don't
in a
know.
Third world country.
He's up and driving BMWs now. He's fine. He'll be fine.
He's okay.
He's okay.
He's
sure he is. He got a little bit of my money back in the day, but, you know, you got to look at the budgets, mate. You don't understand.
That's right. Danger's looking after his family. He's looking after the kids that he actually has.
He's cut off a branch to save the tree, haven't you? You couldn't do it all.
No.
Hey, poor child.
I might go back to getting another sponsor, child. That's not a bad idea.
For a week? What, less things turn sour? Does he have a bad day? Day on the punt?
Keep our eye on the stock
market. Better get rid of another kitty. A couple of questions. We want to know, what's the most expensive bit of food you've ever eaten? Can I tell you one I saw?
What do you got?
So I thought this is on the back of the $51 burger, which I know you would, will appall you. I was watching one of those shows. It's like on CNBC. It's called Lifestyles of the Super Rich or something. And they had this chips. So, you get a box of chips or whatever. This was in a chocolate style box. And in it, it had five chips. Five chips behind a viewing window. They slide it open and there are five chips there. $18.50 for the hotel room. That's a minibar.
Was it at least a mixed brand? So one of them was a Pringle, one was a kettle chip, one was a Smith's.
No, mate. They were behind glass. They were behind glass. It was you thought it was they're going to reveal a diamond. it's a freaking chip.
You're listening to Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Up next on Malloy, we're going to hear what foods you're listening to Malloy. It's the Rostered Week Off. We're talking about expensive food.
That's right. The $51 burger.
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, too much.
I always wanted to see him do a cooking show from prison. Just to see if he swears at them.
See how tough he is.
What are you doing, you idiot? See how long that lasts.
Yeah.
Hit a ladle up you. Quick sticks. Right. See him waddling out of the...
not so lippy anymore, are you,
waddling out of the
Ramsay.
Area with a ladle up his clacker. Going, okay, maybe a bit more polite with H Division. Well, I am with the kids. Yep. 51 burgers too much. You said you wouldn't pay it.
No, not a chance.
Do you know what the most expensive pizza in the world is? The Louis XIII pizza. $12,000 for pizza.
What's on it?
Well, I don't know. If you're pissed, you'd still...
$12,000.
What's on it? I don't know. A check for $1,200, I'm hoping. Features three types of caviar, some truffle they've flown in.
I could buy a second-hand car for $12,000 and be happy for the next few
years.
You
could sponsor 100 Ethiopian kitties.
Yeah, that's right.
That you wouldn't
it
have
was
to
the
cut
GFC, waste. Mate. I didn't know where it was going to end, and I had to look at the budget.
So you took the third world kitty out and whacked him. Sorry, something had to go, and it's you, little Nathaniel.
When you say it like that, it does sound really bad.
Louis XIII, and also at the Algonquin Hotel in New York, they have a martini, which is $10,000. The Algonquin martini. One's not enough. Three costs you $30,000.
Amazing.
It's got a diamond in it.
Doesn't.
It's an expensive glassing, isn't it? big glass. Can I have my diamond back? Even the diamond would do some damage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, imagine if it was your shout.
Nah, I'd skip
guys,
that one.
Guys, your shout, Dave? Yeah, I might change my. I might have one of these. Oh, these martinis look good. Hey, Tim's on the line. Tim, what'd you pay for a burger?
I was in England. I pulled over a roadside cafe, ordered a burger. It came out with a meat patty. By the time I'd ordered the rest of the extras, a couple of pieces of bread, some onions, cheese, and all that sort of stuff, £28 about 25 years ago.
So that's about $70?
About $70 at the time. And I'll tell you what, it was just like all English food. It tasted bloody horrible.
And Tim, you sound like a man who's probably woofed a few burgers in his day. Where did this one rate?
Well, look, right down the bottom to be fair. This is why the English just love their curries, because just got nothing to do with England. They are shocking.
It's not indigenous food.
He's not a fan.
They just boil it, don't they? When in doubt, boil it. Jason, what's the most expensive food you ever ordered, buddy?
We went out for a seafood dinner for our wedding anniversary, and the lobster cost $160.
Yeah, you know what? It's take your medicine when it comes to the lobster. She's a fickle mistress. Always check the market price. Here's what I don't like. I went out to a restaurant recently, a very good one.
Right.
And it said lobster, whatever it is, $150. Blah, blah, blah. When it came out, it was only half of it. I go, mate, where's the other half of my lobster?
What happened?
I go, no, that's how it comes. I go, but it says lobster.
Yeah.
It doesn't say half a lobster. Good you didn't point. Catch it like that, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where's the other half?
Yeah, you want to see the eyes.
I went to the next table and just took the other half. If you say it's a lobster. Yeah, Mark's on the line. Mark, most expensive thing you ever ate?
We used to go to Denmark a fair bit to work and decided to take the local warehouse manufacturing plant out for dinner, and I bought a steak, 1 kilogram Wagyu steak, because you go all the way to Denmark to buy a steak, of course.
Yeah.
Put it through on the work Amex and go back to Australia. It was $1,300 for the Wagyu.
Oh, my God.
Mate, I want the whole cow. I want them to bring the cow to my table while I point at it. I go, I want that bit, and that bit. $1,300. Did you know it was $1,300 when you ordered it?
No. Did not work that out at all. Yeah.
And just tell me out of interest, when you got home and you put that invoice in, did it come up?
Oh, it came up all right.
And how'd you have it? Was it medium rare? Did you have it blue?
Rare, mate. Got to have it rare.
Right.
Good for you. I think we've got a winner there, mate. Yeah. $1,300 for a steak anywhere in the world. That's a good one. Thanks, Mark. Chris, am I getting sick of being corrected?
No,
I'm getting sick of this.
I like it.
Our listeners are getting out of line. Who's this? What?
It's Chris.
What do you want?
G'day, guys. Well, Mick, we know how you love to be corrected. Gordon Ramsay has already done a prison show.
Has he?
He has. Back in his more shouty, yelly, sweary days.
He did it? What, shouting at inmates?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think he took on 12 of them on like a day release program type of thing, cooked the meals in the prison, and I think the winner of it either got to work in his restaurant or whatnot, but I remember about 6 or 7 of them along the way ended up dropping off the perch. One of them, about a month after finishing it off, reoffended and ended back inside. So
thanks for filling that in. I'll go and have a look. Well done.
Make sure you check out Malloy on Instagram and Twitter, and remember, you can listen through the Listener app wherever you are. Coming up next, it's live music from the Rubens. You're listening to Malloy's Rostered Week Off. We love live music on this show. A few weeks back, we had the Rubens stop by and play their new song, Hey, that's it for Malloy for today. Another one in the books. Thanks for listening. You can get in touch with the show if you want through Instagram. You can follow us there. We're on Twitter as well. Hey, get ready for tomorrow's show. Clown of the Week, Ben Friday and all. Jimmy Barnes. We've got Merrick Watts and Lee Simon. Cannot wait. That'll be tomorrow's Malloy right here, Triple M.